This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
4 minutes after 10, Brasol is here. We missed you last month, didn't we?
Yes, last indeed. Unfortunately, there were commitments that we couldn't get out of.
You are a mabena that went over the wall.
It's true. I thought that power, we don't make that joke about mabena.
No. We are going for him. When Chiefs was losing, he was on our case. Okay. I'm glad that Chiefs is now called mabena FC. I think it serves him right. Okay. Sorry, Brapop. You know, this could be a career-limiting statement.
It's true. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Otherwise, how are you?
Fine, and how are you,
my chief? Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
And hello to the listeners. I've missed them also.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. So you brought us a visit as you always do.
Tonight we have a very special friend and comrade in our struggle for mainstreaming issues affecting disabled people.
Yeah.
His name is Victorious David.
Yeah.
He's the founder of an NGO called I Am Victorious.
Yeah.
Basically, he will talk to that, but basically he says, against all odds, I've survived, I've conquered, and here I am. Even though I'm confined to a wheelchair, I'm still living my life fully.
Good stuff, good stuff. But you also wanted to pay tribute as well.
Yeah, in fact, when I was young in 1989, I was a young journalist working for a now defunct anti-apartheid magazine called Learn and Teach. In June 1989, I went to Soweto. We were doing a feature on June 16 uprisings. Then I decided to interview a young lady by the name of Poppy Buthelezi.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he passed on in 2007, may her soul rest in peace. In fact, Poppy, when she was 16, she was walking to her aunt's place and police came, they opened fire on her, destroying her spine, and she was confined to a wheelchair.
Mm.
She lived for the next 32 years confined to a wheelchair. But after I interviewed her, I was so inspired, one, to continue to support the struggle against apartheid. But over and above that, for me, I said, if she survived that bullet and she's confined to a wheelchair and she was still fired to continue struggling against apartheid, who am I who was non-disabled not to participate in the struggle?
Mm.
So tonight, perhaps, we should bow our heads and we dedicate this program to Poppy Buthelezi. Yeah,
beautiful stuff. It's still June, you know, we're still through the Youth Month as well. David, or should I formally call you Victorious David, because I'm sure that's what you prefer. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and you, sir?
Good stuff, man. Tell us about your story.
This year I'm 36 years.
Yeah. You are still very young.
I'm still very young.
Yeah.
No, for the past 33 years of my life, I was walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not born in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But then it happened in 2016.
Yeah.
January the 23rd. I still remember that day very well. It was still bright, but it was around 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
When my girlfriend was coming from a baby shower, she was about 7 months, few weeks pregnant by the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So what she did, she just said, David, can you please wait for me by the robot?
Mm.
Then I went, I think the robot was about 3 minutes walk to our place. So when she came down, we went down to our place. So our place, by the side of our place, there was a construction going on.
Mm.
So immediately from that hole, two guys popped out and they demanded the bag. The other one went straight to her and then he pointed the knife at her neck. Right in that moment, she started feeling, you know, pregnant people. She started feeling constructions. She started feeling pains in her stomach. You know, I think it was more of a shock than anything. And she was like, "David, I think I'm going to give birth." So, the bag was across her shoulders. So the moment that she bent down and held on her stomach, they could not take the bag. So a little argument arose between the two guys. "Hey man, why can't you take that bag?" And then he said, the guy replies that, "How will I be able to take this bag if this woman is bending? And you could see that this woman is pregnant. How about we leave her? Because she's going to cause us a lot of drama and she's delaying us." Then the guy responded with anger. He said, "No, Wena, I know you in the group. Nyakwazi Wena. They've been speaking about him, but you're a coward. So today I will show you how to take this bag." So right there, the guy just pulled out the gun. And then immediately when I saw the gun, I said, "No, wait, man, there's a situation here." The moment before I can even finish speaking, the gun went off. So he fired two bullets at us. So because I was just in front of her, those two bullets came straight to my shoulders and they fractured my spine. So there and there, okay, I remained on my feet for about 15 minutes trying to call the ambulances. The ambulance was not there. We tried to get someone to come and pick me up to the hospital. We delayed. I think after that, I just lost my feet. I just started feeling numb. So the guy took about 50. We called the guy. The guy who came was from Midrand. And then he came and picked up, took me to the hospital. That was the last time I was on my feet.
You know, what I admire about people like you and Brasol is this transition. You know, I don't think I have the mental strength to transition. From a point where you are on your 2 feet, you can wake up in the morning and jog and feel the breeze, you know. To a point where now you sit on a wheelchair and you still go head on and face life. How's that transition? Must be a very difficult transition,
though. It was a difficult transition. You know, first of all, I've never ever imagined myself that I would be in a wheelchair. It's something that my mind never conceived it. So when it happened, it really, really, really hit me strong. You know, it was the when they in the morning when they told me that I'm fortunate to be alive. But the unfortunate part is that my spine has been fractured, you know, and I'll never be able to walk again. So that was a lot to take in. You know, it was a lot. It was a battle. The battle was on. So even myself, sometimes I didn't know how I'm going to move on from that. Because, you know, it was like my world has been turned ups and down. But, you know, there's one thing that about life, you know. Even in the midst of darkness, in the midst of in the midst of negativity, in the midst of adversity, you still have to take a decision. You know, you still have to take a decision and say whether, you know what, I'll make it out of here or I will die in here. So that, I took that decision. It was not easy at all. Remember, even taking decision does not replace the pain that you're feeling at the moment. Or it doesn't replace what is going on in the moment. But when you take that decision and say, you know what, Noma Gwenzema, even it's tough, but I will be a man and come out of that.
What keeps you going? Is it religion? Maybe it spirituality? Before we come to you, Brasol. What keeps you going?
I think it's the combined factors of those. You know, I'm a firm believer in God, the higher power, the higher source, and the will just to live and leave a great legacy for my sons, because I was one of those who grew up without a father, and I know the void of not having a father. So I once made a decision that I'll become the best father to my kids, and that decision also it came to play in that moment, because I knew from that moment that becoming a better father to my kids, it will require me to be mentally well, to be emotionally well, to be able to see, you know, the world in a different way. So those are the elements that, you know, they help you in that moment. That's what I'm saying. The moment that you start taking that decision, your decision will start backing you up. Even though tomorrow you will feel like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, maybe I should commit suicide or not. But your decision, if you told yourself and you are intentional about what you want to become out of this, you know, it even pushes you to redefine the whole thing. Because I started becoming grateful as well that I'm alive. I started being grateful to see my kids. Because immediately after that, you remember she was pregnant. She was 7 months. But after 2 months, while I was still in the hospital, you know, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. You know, and that brought some kind of happiness in me. You know, and I said...
And a sense of responsibility.
And a sense of responsibility and a joy. I felt like something bigger was given to me, you know. And I started saying, you know what? Maybe we could have all been shot in that night. Maybe even the child could have been affected. Maybe even the child could have been born disabled. But the fact that there's a new life coming into my life, God has blessed me with something beyond.
Amazing. Yeah. If you want to participate, 0861-987-000. Brasol, you wanted to chip in as well.
No, I wanted to talk about that point where you are faced with two decisions.
Yes.
The simplest decision is to give up and die. The most difficult decision is to say, I'm going to get out of this alive. I'm going to engage in battles every second of my life to make sure that I survive this ordeal. But it's a very difficult one. And I was saying to the young men earlier on to say, it is the kind of experience that I wouldn't even want to wish it on my worst enemy.
It must be extremely difficult. Because we often associate disability, and I'm glad I'm speaking to people who were able-bodied. We associate disability with people who are born that way. In most cases. We hardly ever think that at any moment it can happen to us. Now, when it happens to you, I'm sure it hits you hard. It hits you. I mean, you at the age, Brasol is an old geezer. You at 33, bro, it's still, you know what I mean? It's still something that is very difficult to and also, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I am one of those people that does not like too much pity. You know, when they come to me, ujila mutoho, and you're like, no, I'm fine. I say, hey, go toilet, how about, hey, man, hey, whoa, you know?
Yes.
I'm sure that also is something that you have to deal with from a psychological point of view.
A lot, especially because I was very active in the gym before. I used to, I have several medals of 21 kilometers. So the communication changed, the communication from my friends changed. They did not know how to approach me. Even my family, the way that they were talking to me, it changed the tone. The way they looked at me. You know, they were doing extra things that even they're not even supposed to do. You know, and that's the element of pity then. But when you are in that moment, again, it's very hard to understand what the other person is thinking about you. Because you must remember, as much as you are affected, the person that is close to you as well is affected. And sometimes they can be affected the most. You know, so you, even though you are disabled, you still need a certain training, someone to train you and say, you look, people will react this way. It's not because sometimes they do that intentionally, but they are trying to find a way to accommodate
you.
They're trying to find a way to create a communication. You see?
In fact, I say it's a double-edged sword. On the one side, I'm saying, do acknowledge the fact that I am disabled. But at the same time, I don't want an shame from you. So it's a very delicate balancing act that you expect people, you know, to work on when they look at you. But I also say disability shouldn't define my personality. I'm Brasol. Before everything else. Yes, along the way then you can discover that Brasol's movement is impaired like chicken leg in Zboo, you know? but the reality is that that shouldn't define me. That physical disability shouldn't define who I am.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, the reason I was saying to the young men earlier on, the most important thing is first to accept that
Which, condition, which on its own is not an easy thing.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Which and on then its own once you have accepted that,
there are people who struggle then, with unemployment.
Yeah.
You know, there's DSTV that somebody's paying for. There's bread in the in the bread tin.
Yeah.
There's water and electricity. But this person just struggles with the fact that they are all of a sudden unemployed. You know. Now, can you imagine a situation like that? That completely changes your
life completely.
Yeah, because you learn to live how to walk properly. You learn to live how to, you know, extricate yourself from.
Yes.
And I can imagine all of those things are a challenge on their own. You
definitely.
Know?
Yeah. And just to emphasize on that fact that some people struggle. Like we were talking with Brasol. Like he was giving me the number of guys that passed away during those where he was with in the rehab, and then I was saying to him, mine, I think it's about five. Then you must remember that Brasol came maybe 3 months after I was out of the rehab. Then that's when he came in. So we got to meet each other in rehab when we were trying to resuscitate other patients. So we had a lot of patients that were with us, and most died. And most of the time you'll find out it's not really because of the injury, but it's because mentally, because when you get affected mentally, the first thing that happens, because when you are a disabled person, there are certain procedures, programs that you have to follow that will better you for you to taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
They will tell you that, okay, when you are at in your home, do this and this and this.
Yeah.
But when you have given up, you don't even follow this program.
Yeah.
So it affects you mentally.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, depression kicks in. Yeah. Dark hole kicks in.
You guys are lucky because you met at a rehab center, and I'm told it's not a cheap exercise that on its own.
In fact, we were lucky and because it is a public health facility.
Yeah. Mm.
Highly under-resourced, but we've a team that is extremely committed to their patients. It is a small facility.
Yeah.
It has only 78 beds.
I see.
And in fact, I always say to government departments to say, ideally, it was supposed to be receiving funding from the Department of Health, but also from the Department of Social Development. And over and above that, you need agencies like the Road Accident Fund, your SANRAL, should be putting money into that center. So because there are so many people who are disabled who weren't supposed to be disabled if they've taken the rehabilitation route.
So is it compulsory or is it depending on an individual? If they discharge you, is it a requirement that you go to a rehab center of that?
Yeah, after the incident, now you need to be taught how to live on your own with a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete change.
Yeah.
So from there, like for myself, in my case, when I was in the hospital, I was told that, okay, first of all, I was told that I will stay 6 months in the hospital.
Yeah.
But my recovery was more quicker health-wise because I was a very active person.
Fit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said, okay, by law, we could discharge you and send you straight home.
Mm.
But you still have to go through the procedure of rehab.
Okay.
Because you still have to know how to put yourself in the bed, how to bath yourself, how to get into the car, how to do all these things. So it becomes a rehabilitation purpose for
you. I can imagine you going through that with your tears rolling down your cheeks.
It was, but I will be honest with you. When I arrived in the rehab, listening to other people's stories.
Absolutely.
You know, how they get in here. You know?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I did not know that there's something that you call the TB spine that can affect a person and put a person in a wheelchair. So there were a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And there were situations where I even saw, as much as I'm in a wheelchair, but there was a time that I was even able to feed other guys, because there are other guys who could only move an ear.
Absolutely.
There are other guys who could only move a neck. Hmm. So you go there and you say, Mark, what is happening in life? Because at the moment you think you're alone. Mm. But when you go, you see a variety of people that have been affected. Yeah, who are worse.
Yeah, yeah. So that was my next point before we go to the calls, by the way. 0861987000. So, Brasol, I'm sure you are feeding off each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hence the connection to a large extent. What have you learned from him? And what do you admire from him?
In fact, when I met Victorious David, he came as a motivational speaker. The Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital, every month, they will have a session where they invite one of their ex-patients to come and talk to
the current ones.
The new arrivals.
Yeah.
So he came and he was just fired up. For some reason, we just reconnected.
Oh, that's good.
And we became friends. Then I discovered he was on Facebook. Every Friday, I used to post something on Facebook. So we became friends since then. But those sessions are very important, because we were saying to the young men we came here with to say, usually you will say, I can listen to someone who has walked this path with me more than someone who's just an academic, talking about our experiences. That's why ultimately we design a slogan that says, nothing about us without us.
Yeah. What do you draw from Brasol?
You know, the moment when I went to rehab, after we the whole session with patients, Pastor Saul said something to me. He said, "Man, this needs to multiply.
Yeah,
we need to reach a larger audience.
Absolutely.
From here, when I'm come out from here, we should connect more.
Yeah,
and see how we can be of difference and how we can be of hope to other people.
Yeah.
So immediately from there, I saw someone who was not even thinking of himself by the time.
Yeah, no wonder he gave me no choice to be on the radio station. No, but it's good.
Yes.
That's good.
The other thing, Gorgi Lasta. I just laugh because I usually say to people, even if I was to go to hell, I'll still have fun in hell.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I think you are. You know, when I met Brasol, I was in Limpopo.
Yes.
A new guy there.
Yeah.
I used to see this guy driving a Slatla Matende, say yellow. I'm thinking, but this guy, he never got that attention. And then, I didn't say that. Raymond in Don Park, good evening.
Yes, Tabiso.
Yes, sir.
How are you, Tabs?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Yeah, gradually getting there. I'm still just fighting life.
Good stuff.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, brother.
Okay, I'm saying good evening to Brasol and Victorious as well there.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, brother.
Victorious, I think you might be Victorious just as I am.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm from the very same situation. I was an athletic from school. I was born normal.
Yes.
Until I was poisoned in 2010, I was given Sudan dye that was put up in my foot. And believe it or not, I stayed with that Sudan dye in my lungs for about 10 days. And it cured all my lungs. I don't have lungs at the moment. I cannot breathe on my own. I'm on a 24/7 home oxygen. I can't do anything on my own. My legs, everything is just dead, you understand?
Yes.
But now, what I like is, what you guys are doing is very, 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 very much motivating us. And it's a moving from one transition to another transition.
Yes.
I'd like, in fact, to interact with you guys.
Yep.
Whatever you got more time, that perhaps we can reconnect then.
Absolutely. I will give Brasol your number. when you were calling. Okay, brother.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Tabiso, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and apart from that, Tabiso, what I like, I'm an academic. You know, I like education.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't mean that now when we are disabled, our minds are disabled. You know, my mind is very sharp.
Mm.
I know that I'm very intelligent. I was still at college in Divina. I just dropped out of college due to finance. So if we can just try to make something that we as disabled people can still be able to carry on again with our education and further our studies and do whatever we can, because if we have to look for handouts from the government, from our mayor, from the community, they're doing absolutely nothing. Because say right now, I'm battling up on my own. I'm doing everything up on my own. And without a help, take for instance on my own, I cannot be happy. I cannot be angry. I cannot be sad. I must just be myself. If I get angry, that's hostile and case. If I become happy, it's hostile and case. You understand the point? The kind of life I'm living.
Yeah, I can imagine.
If I put my oxygen for the board and take just two minutes, I'm about to die. I can feel it now. I cannot just do it up without oxygen on my without. I cannot breathe, really.
Yeah. Point taken, Barry. Thanks as always for coming out. We'll definitely give Rasol your number. He will call you. Okay. Sorry, that's Barry there.
In fact, also just to say that I know UNISA has a very good program to support disabled students. So we will put Barry in touch with
absolutely
the disability unit at UNISA.
Rudzani Centurion, good evening.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Rudzani?
Yeah.
Your line is jumpy.
And how about now, Tavis?
Ah, it's much better. It's much better. Mm-mm. We'll try and connect you back on the line. Basil Boxbeck, good evening.
Hi, T. How are you?
Very well, sir. How are you?
I'm great. I think this is one of the most inspiring interviews that I ever had. It's one of those stories that you look at your life and the complaining that you always do, and you say, why am I complaining?
Exactly. Don't you do that.
You know?
Yes.
You know, in our country, we hear about the state capture and everything that is wrong, but hearing these two gentlemen, for me, it just inspires me. Thank you, T, for bringing them to the studio.
No problem. For them
to tell these stories. Because, you see, unfortunately, I didn't get let me call him the younger one, the 36-year-old.
Victorious David.
Yeah, Victorious David. I mean, hearing that he wants to be there for the kids, I mean, most of us, we're not there for our own kids, and we're not grateful, we're not the best dads that we can be.
Mm.
And hearing this kind of stories, for me, it's thank you very much, T. It's very inspiring. But I've got a question for them. The question that I have is this ministry of people with disability, it's a very long thing. So Does it really assist, or is just a ministry that is sitting there and not assisting people at all, or what happens? Do they find it helpful or not?
No, absolutely. In fact, I've got an additional question there. You know, I was watching a parliament debate on SONA, and I saw one MP on a wheelchair. And before then, I saw how Naledi Chirwa struggled to adjust to be on the podium, because I think there's something there that she wanted to step on. And then I thought, but the one who's on a wheelchair, is this podium custom-made for her to actually speak when required to? Because it didn't look the part, you know, and it's something that I also want to get a sense of whether you are going to, if it's not, challenge a parliament on Brussels. Rolex Rustenbeck.
Greetings to your powerful guest, Mr. Kwatani.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you very much, Brasol and Victoria David. I wish he can explain to us the Victoria David, if it's an AKA or what. But power to the courageous. Power to the courageous and the spiritual teleporters. You know, the two gentlemen you have are the real inspiration, you know. You know, recently, Mr. Kotane, on social media, even here on Power FM, we hear many people mocking and belittling God, you know. I think such people should who don't believe that God exists should actually learn from the guests that you have who are actually experiencing the grace of God, you know.
Absolutely.
And I have a message to those people who always get this kind of platform and to come and speak their evil devil worshipping kind of a thing, you know, saying that there's no God. I think they must know that their real time to make a godly decision is actually coming, you know.
Okay.
Lastly, let me say, long live to the spirit of those who choose God, long live.
Thank you. You remind me of Brooke Benton. Brasol will know him. There's a song that says, if you think God is dead, you better look around. Anyway, let me take the last two calls for now. Kensani Polokwane, good evening.
Oh, hi, Thabiso.
How are you, Kensani?
And greetings to your guest today.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Brasol. That's my Facebook friend. We just met recently.
Kensani Matlori. Hello, my sister. Your story is also very inspiring.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say, you know, I thank you guys for turning your pain into power. I was also involved in a very horrible car accident that left me disabled. And, you know, it hasn't been easy. I remember when I was depressed a year after the accident because everyone left me. It was a time where I was lonely when I could not even afford to be alone at the time. If my friends left, my boyfriend left. You know, but you know, God has just been faithful. So I remember on the 31st of December, just before crossover to 2019, and I made a decision, like Victoria said, that sometimes you just have to make a decision. Though it's not easy, and I made the decision to say, you know, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna walk, and even if I don't walk, it's still okay, as long as I am alive. As long as I'm able to inspire other people to do the same. And, you know, the unfortunate part is, you know, having to use the public sectors, the public hospitals, especially here in Polokwane, we do not have the resources. The only time I go for rehab is once in 2 months at the hospital. And it does not help at all. So imagine if maybe there are those who like me, can't even afford to go to the gym or can't even afford private physiotherapy, they end up being disabled even when they should not be disabled. You know, so that's the unfortunate part about it. I just pray that maybe somebody's listening in Limpopo, you know, to even help us maybe get a rehab center in Polokwane or just in Limpopo, you know, because we don't have. For me, every time I have to come to check up, I have to leave Polokwane straight to Harankua, you know, for my checkup. And it's costly. You know, the queues, being disabled, just has not been easy. But, and also, Brad Paul, thank you, you know, about the pool therapy, the water therapy. I finally had the courage to go into the pool, and I am doing okay.
In fact, I was so excited, the day before yesterday, when I saw you on Facebook using crutches. I think you were at some shopping mall. Well done. That's the way to go.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Actually, we're welcoming the Vakekula, the team that went to the granny soccer team.
Yes.
Okay. That went to France. Yeah. So welcoming them back. So I decided I'm going to go there on my crutches. You know, although my confidence went down a bit, you know, since the accident. But I told myself I am going there. I'm going to see people. I'm going to be in the midst of people because it got to a point where I refused to go around people because of my disability. But thanks to you guys, you know, when I see you guys doing it, I also know that, you know, there's a God in heaven and I'm also going to be able to do it.
Thank you, Kenzie, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Tavi.
Thank you. Let's take Rudzani in Centurion. We lost you earlier, Rudzani. Go for it.
Hey, hi, Tavi.
Ah, much clearer. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, Tabiso. I just have actually said the greetings to the gentleman, Mr. Saul and Mr. Victoria David.
Hello, my chief.
Tabiso, you know, I hardly listen to Power, but today I was just roaming around the stations and then I came across you were introducing them, actually. And then you grabbed my attention. I am very inspired by the story of they shared with us. And I just hope if maybe, just like what Kentani said, I'm from Limpopo. And I strongly believe that people are being disabled and some are even losing their lives unnecessarily because the health facilities that we have back there, they don't have necessary equipment. So I know this is going to be, this is going to sound like a bit offish, but you can never believe that Chilizin Hospital doesn't have a single monitor.
What is a monitor?
The small computer-like screen that you put next to the patient that monitors your heart rate, your blood pressure, like
for
all
real?
That.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Tabiso, the condition there is very bad. Like I've recently lost my uncle.
Yeah.
When I got there, when I asked them, how do you check his heart rate? They said, we check his pulse on the hand. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know who to tell.
No, it's fine. I mean, Limpopo has got one of the most accessible health MECs. I mean, maybe this is an idea. Maybe Brasol, we should also get the Department of Health nationally and look at the landscape in as far as treatment of people with disabilities concerned. But gentlemen, I'll give you an opportunity to respond. Let's do this and then you will respond.
Authentic and honest conversations with Thabiso Kotane on Power 98.7.
18 minutes to 11. We'll squeeze in a couple of more calls. 0861-987-000. So let me start with you, Victorious. What did you make of some of the views that came through?
Look, it's very good that people find our stories inspiring. But what I can say is that, based on what I've listened to, you get a bigger picture of what is happening outside.
Yeah.
You get a picture of the challenges that people are having.
Yeah.
Especially those who are living with disabilities.
Yeah.
They mentioned that the difficulties that they are having with the health sectors and everything.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that the government may need to look on.
Yeah.
You know, they need to go deep into it.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things. I remember I went to one of the Department of Social Development Department in Pretoria.
Mm.
And when I arrived there, okay, they told me that the lifts were not working.
Mm.
So I had to take the steps going up. But then it was not something of one day or 2 days.
Mm.
The other week I came back again.
Still.
And the lifts were not working. So it's not there. There are a lot of places where you go, where you think that because it's a government places, then they will be more accessible.
Mm.
But it's not the case.
Mm.
So the environment there, it's not good. It's not well accessible for us.
Mm.
So there are a lot of things that they needs to be, looked at, especially by the government, especially if they're saying that they are prioritizing, people living with disabilities. And there are programs as well, like Brasol said, I run a foundation called I'm Victorious.
Mm.
You know, even when you trying to apply or to do something that can benefit other people living with disabilities, you find that the process, they need to shorten the process because the process takes longer.
Mm.
And you find out whatever that you intended to do, you are not fully supported.
Mm.
I think that the government structures must, because we are a minority.
Mm.
It's not a lot of us.
Mm.
And the work that we need to do, it's a lot. It's a human work.
Mm.
So if the government can look at that and make sure that whatever is needed, the process is being simplified, then we can achieve a lot of things.
Brasol?
I think in just like South Africa having one of the best and most progressive constitutions across the whole world, we have the best policies and legislation.
Mm.
For instance, if you look at the broad-based black economic empowerment, it talks about designated groups, and one of those groups is people with disabilities.
Mm.
So where I'm coming from is to say government needs to implement its policies, all those progressive policies that it has established.
Mm.
It is trying its best, but it's not enough.
Mm.
On the other side, we are saying the private sector should learn to accommodate affirm and empower people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that you have a 78-bed rehabilitation hospital in Pretoria servicing Northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga.
Mm.
When I was there, we even had two patients from the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
It's wrong. The best they can do, perhaps, is to give resources to the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital, and from there they need to roll out the model to other provinces.
Mm.
I know I might be wrong, but I think two months ago, because Limpopo was mentioned, I remember reading somewhere that the Department of Social Development in Limpopo had a roadshow in various districts, inviting NGOs that were helping disabled people to come and do presentations.
Mm-hmm.
My guess was that they were going to give them guidelines on how to apply for funding from the Department of Social Development.
Yeah.
One caller spoke, I think it was Brare, saying that we are physically disabled, we are not mentally disabled.
Yeah.
Yes, it is true. When I was in hospital, I wrote 155,000 words of a book. My editor decided to break it into two books, meaning the 1 year that I spent in hospital, I managed to write two books, meaning mentally, I'm still highly able.
Yeah.
And without necessarily announcing it, I've also just started studying again, even though I'm disabled.
Mm.
In Limpopo, there's a young DJ that we are going to feature on this program.
Yeah, yes,
along the way.
Yes,
he calls himself DJ Willy.
Yes,
he
what's
has
his
just
name again?
Solomon.
He used to call himself Bambo.
Bambo, yeah.
Yes.
He has just launched a very progressive campaign where he says, in all public events, you know, these mobile toilets are only catered for disabled people, for abled people, people who are able to do the stairs.
Mm.
So you won't find one toilet which is reserved for disabled people. Meaning, we are basically saying people who are on wheelchairs are not welcomed at all these public events.
Mm.
Because we don't provide them with ablution facilities.
Mm.
So you can imagine the crisis if this person could want to do number one or number two in such a hostile environment.
Mm.
But basically, things are extremely difficult for disabled people. Kensani spoke about the inaccessibility of public transport.
Mm.
Some will tell you that when a taxi driver sees you on two crutches, he never stops. You know, he just drives past you because they think you are going to take two seats, you know,
and the one seat was supposed to take too much time to get on. Yeah.
So all this each other, all we need to do as South Africans is to begin to implement all these progressive policies, legislations and regulations that we have adopted as a people to affirm disabled people.
So let's talk about the outreach. You know, that to what extent is it coordinated? Because I can tell you that from a government approach point of view, it's not. In Limpopo, like in many other provinces, you have in the premier's office the disability desk. And I don't know why they call them desks when they're so important.
Yeah.
But they've got a disability unit. But when you go to these organizations that advocate for the rights and the advancement of people with disability, you find that there is a lot of fractured existence. There's no... You know what I mean? So to what extent are you as Brand Hill, and I want to put it on your doorstep, creating linkages in other provinces, to what extent, beyond having met Victorious David at a rehab center, what is your outreach outlook in terms of amplifying this voice?
Okay. We are saying we are mainstreaming issues affecting disabled people. And basically we are saying there should be many voices,
yeah,
but one message.
Yeah.
Message should be about affirming and empowering people living with disabilities. But we are now saying it shouldn't be only between November 3 and December 3 when we are discussing the so-called Disability Month. For this reason, that's why we commend Power FM for giving us this platform, that every day, as the Nelson Mandela legacy people will tell you, has to be a Mandela Day. We are saying every day has to be a day in which we reaffirm ourselves,
yeah,
to affirming,
yeah,
and empowering, yeah, disabled people.
Yeah. So the reason I'm pointing this out, Victorious David, is that as people with disabilities, you are also musicians, you are also sports people.
Yes.
You are also business people.
Mm-hmm.
You are also in the arts as artists. You are also fashion designers. You're also all of those kinds of
things. Yes.
In most cases, when discussions like this occur, it's on the basis of how you're surviving.
Yes.
You know, from a well-being point of view. How do we go beyond that? And how are you guys also amplifying that to say to people with living with disabilities, you know, Let's amplify ourselves in those spaces as well.
Yes, you know, the thing is with disabled people, we are different groups as well that preaches different voices as well.
Yeah.
So we need to come up with one voice that can elevate us and make us, you know, stop being a,
yeah,
the other group from other people.
Yes.
You know, on my side, especially with our foundation, I'm trying to tap into a space where we can be able to be an inclusive society.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because disabled people, we tend to be an isolated group.
Mm.
And then when we are isolated group, we tend to be a voice that is limited.
Mm.
To a certain point.
Amongst
yourselves.
Yes,
yeah. Yes. But I want us to do away with that mentality. I want us to come up with programs that will be inclusive for every group.
Yeah.
So by doing that, you'll be normalizing a person who is disabled,
yeah,
with other people.
Yeah.
You know, because like for instance, the event that we are going to do in the 17th of August, we said, okay, how about we bring people that are able-bodied group.
Yeah.
And then we combine them with, yeah, people that are wheelchair, people, yeah, living with albinism,
yeah,
so that they can be able to see, because these people, some of them, the able-bodied group, they are the CEOs, right? They own the business. They are in charge of certain positions. But when we bring them closer and make them one society,
they begin, you know, to understand.
Yeah, they, yeah, begin to understand exactly what the challenges are. Because we don't want to be a group that is closed on the other group.
Yeah.
If government can come up with programs that will say, okay, that will force even able-bodied group to celebrate and say, okay, good, here is the function, here is the platform where everybody will come and do away with this, with the segregation.
Absolutely. Let me go to Tembi. We'll come back to you, Brasol. In fact, Kosi in Tembisa. Sorry. Kosi, good evening.
Good evening, Travis. How are you?
Very well, sir. How are you?
All right. Oh, my man, I'm inspired by the two gentlemen who are with you in the studio.
Mm.
Man, I'm one of those guys who have been in an accident since 2002.
Mm.
My life has been difficult, but I'm striving and I'm trying my best to keep my motives to go on.
Mm.
I want to say to those guys, keep moving and keep inspiring those people that have been in the same situation like you.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like most to happen in our community, mainly the black community.
Mm.
Most in black community, people who have been disabled are having a challenge because our black people need to be taught and be told that people with disability are also human beings.
Mm.
They need to be told strongly because whenever they see a black person moving or a disability person in every way, blind or any kind of a disability, it's a shame. They tend to make an... It seems like that thing is something which is new. It's never been on the world, meaning that you, the person with a disability, is a different people amongst other people. Can be an albino or any kind of a person.
Okay.
So I like that to maybe our nation, more especially the black people, need to be told more about disability.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my man.
Absolutely. Let me squeeze in Kabelo and Harankua quickly. Kabelo, you came in a bit late.
Good evening also to your guest. Yeah, man, I always think over it, disability is just a thought. It's all in the state of mind. And then it creates a fear because of, I usually tell some of my brothers, Balong Horva, disabled, hore, you need to come out of that comfort zone, hore, when you are disabled.
Yeah.
Because of fear. Ira hore, linel limitation, mo pilong bale. Alitabo ho fi sabo.
Okay, but point taken, my bro. We gotta go because we are running out of time. That's all you wanted to pitch in.
Okay. Now, I was saying mainstreaming, like you were saying, it's about interviewing the late Professor Chinua Achebe for 2 hours talking literature without mentioning the issue that he was confined to a wheelchair.
Of course, yes.
Or talking the science with Stephen Hawking without mentioning that he's also disabled, confined to a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we need to be seen as people who are not necessarily defined
Absolutely.
By our physical
actually, you
disability.
Remind me, you know, when I interviewed, I was working for a radio station next door. So he was visiting the country, Chinuache. So we had a scheduled interview with him. And then this chap rocks up in a wheelchair. You know, he's pushed by somebody else. So I thought that actually the chap pushing the guy who's sitting on a wheelchair is Chinuache. But it was the other way around. So, you are reminding me of, because, greatness is greatness.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know what I mean? So sometimes we forget that greatness is greatness, whether you are on a wheelchair or not.
Yes.
And I was shocked to discover that he was on a wheelchair. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But anyway. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Brasol, okay. your details, please.
Yeah,
I'll take your details as well.
Yeah, my parting shot is that on Saturday, we'll be having a Pochi Kos Festival at Naledi Farm. We'll be raising funds for Lesedi Center for Disabled People in a village called Yersteres in Hammanskraal. So people can go on Facebook, Google Naledi Farm, will be there the whole day.
Okay, good stuff.
And then we are on social media. We also have a website on www.brandhillafrica.com.
Brandhill Africa. And you, Victorious David?
Yes, they can catch me on Facebook, Victorious David, both Twitter and Instagram. And they can go to our website, www.imvictorious.org.za. Yeah, they can get in touch with us there.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you very much. I'm not yet. I'm reminding you of the commitment you made, Brasol. I want us as a country, and I think we deserve it in this country, to have a 30-minute program on television to talk about people like you. 30 minutes every week.
In fact,
you made the commitment.
Yeah, I've teamed up with very interesting disabled artists like Mark Manaka. We've developed the concept and we are now selling it to the broadcasters.
That's okay.
And we are also hoping to launch a monthly newspaper which will be dealing with issues affecting disabled people and those living with disabled people.
And those who are thriving.
and those who are supporting them, and will also be popularizing all interventions coming from government and the private sector.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks for coming through. Much appreciated. Rasol, you are one of our own, and we always look forward to this particular interaction.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.